Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 671. So with the Harvey Weinstein debacle, it has become in some ways awkward to talk to women if you are dealing with them on a business level or, even on what might be referred to as a platonic level, because everybody thinks you're going to turn into Harvey Weinstein. So we're going to talk about this with my good friend and the only person that I know that can discuss this with a respect for men, and that is Colleen Cruz, who we've been working in radio together for years. So we're going to do that in podcast 671. But first, she has to put up with me talking about Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, because when it comes to keeping all of your systems, heating and air conditioning and everything else, running right, especially during the winter time, you got to think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Have them come out, check your heating, and make sure everything's operating. Ask them about the efficiency of your heating, because when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems in the summer, you want reliable service. And that, of course, is Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They're from Frogtown. They've been there forever. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul. Like I said, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. So I know, Colleen, that you like motorcycles, right?
Well, you know, I like looking at them. I don't get on a motorcycle.
Well, the we have
a, are you kidding me?
I'm working with
a
company.
You know that I'm afraid of them, right?
I didn't know that. I'm working with a company called Zero3D. Now, if you were to get
on
a motorcycle, yeah, I know that if you were to get on a motorcycle, you would think, you know, if I'm going to be on the back of a motorcycle, I want to make sure people can see me. And Zero3D.
I would get on the back of a motorcycle to get pictures taken.
Zero3D has, we can arrange that. I can arrange that.
Okay. All right.
Zero3D has some great lighting options for the back of the bike. So when you park it, because it's winter in Minnesota and you're not going anywhere on that thing, you want all these badass things to put on it. Think about Zero3D.com. Go online right now, Zero3D.com. Sign up to get their catalog, which is really cool, and check out all the great motorcycle products and accessories, especially lighting options and solutions. So when Colleen Cruz gets on the back of your motorcycle and you're driving down the street and she's freaking out because she's thinking nobody can see us, I don't want to get hit from behind. That's what you do. Zero3D, CIRO3D.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com.
That's awesome.
I do have another commercial later, but I'll warn you of that.
Motorcycles do look cool.
I haven't wanted to talk about Harvey because, first of all, I don't know, you know. The right is super excited about it because he's a liberal and he's been caught with his pants down, literally.
Well, they're all, you know, I mean, I don't know.
They're all just thrilled that, you know, we've got one. We caught one. And,
really? Well, but what about Carlos Danger? Isn't he a liberal too?
Who's Carlos Danger?
You don't know who Carlos Danger is?
No, I feel terrible.
Anthony Weiner.
Who?
Anthony Weiner.
Oh, that's right. Carlos Danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carlos Danger.
Yeah, well, didn't you know that all serial abusers are, you know, they're Democrats of some way, shape, or form.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Right.
Oh, you know? Well, that's scientific. That's like a scientific fact.
You know where I learned that? I learned that from Breitbart.
Did you? Oh, well, then there you go.
But it is really an interesting case because, as Oliver Stone said, I've heard stories about Harvey for years, and we have all heard stories about Harvey for years. But I don't know that I want to live in a culture that convicts through accusation. What do you think about that?
Well, how else are they going to convict? I mean, I don't know. Like, it depends. I mean, the more people that come forward, there would you agree that there's like Cosby, you know, there's a, and they all kind of have the same story, and there's been money that's been paid out. You know, there's a high probability that things have happened.
Yes.
You know, and the more people that come forward, there's a higher probability, right?
Right. I don't want to be put in the position of defending.
Like, how many people need to, you know, how many accusations do there need to be before somebody gets stopped, right? I mean, what are we talking about? I'm not saying that, you know, it's not going to be like the Crucible where where there will literally be a witch hunt and we saw Goody Proctor
innocent people, that someone that hasn't done anything. But it is interesting that it has developed into a situation where he's literally been hounded out of the business and out of the country. And he probably deserves it. I'm certainly not going to argue that he doesn't, but I don't know Harvey Weinstein. I've never had any experience with him. I have never met him. I don't know the man. But it seems to be that it's, okay, we'll make a bunch of accusations. We won't vet the accusations. We'll just say that he did it, and we will convict him on Twitter, you know?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that. I think that there's enough proof there. What do you mean, not vetting the accusations?
Well, he hasn't been charged with anything, let's say. And I'm not trying to defend him. I'm talking about our culture, right, that says this guy did this to me, therefore it happened, therefore I can accuse it. And I mean, look at what happened with the whole rape thing at what school was that? Out east. I don't even remember where. Oh yeah, UVA. That it turned out to be not true. You know, that's
right.
And everyone was up in arms.
I think that's the exception more than the rule, though. I mean, we kind of, you know, the top five cause of death for women between 25 and 50, it's in the top five, is death at the hands of your domestic partner, or a man, or a guy that you've been involved with, right? So, or a guy that you know, right? So it's kind of like, you know, so obviously something has to be done. You know, I mean, it should not go on like this.
Well, and it's terrible that he did that to people that were, you know, that come to a place like Hollywood with all the wide eye and the interest in working and being recognized for their creativity and so forth. So,
oh, come on. It's been going on for whatever Harvey Weinstein did has been going on since the birth of Hollywood, right?
And no.
I'm sure Louis B. Mayer has done it, I'm sure.
Louis B. Mayer, oh my God.
Right. It's the fabled casting couch, right? And he's a guy. This is the last gasp of that way of doing business, you know, where you can get somebody in your hotel room and say, you need to give me oral sex or be afraid for how the rest of your career is going to go.
You'll never work in this town again.
Right, exactly. So this is the last gasp. And you know, there's always got to be some, at least it's the right guy taking the fall for it. You know, he's been accused so many times. We're pretty sure that, you know, he's...
Apparently he is too, because he is now, my favorite thing is he's going to France for sexual, what do they call that? Sexual addiction.
He's probably vacationing somewhere.
Treatment. And people on Facebook are like, that's ridiculous. That's right. That's like going to, I don't know, that's like going to Vegas for gambling treatment, you know. is there a problem with men?
And no.
We've talked about this before.
Well, I mean, there's a problem with some men, for sure. You know, the men that perpetuate violence and also perpetuate, you know, kind of a feeling of, who was I talking to? Somebody said they used to call it pestering, right?
Really?
You know, I've been pestered before, where at jobs before, where, you know, you sort of get the feeling like, oh, I'm not going to get any farther in this line of work if I don't go out on a date with this person, or if I don't give them attention, or if I don't, you know, and you know, I don't mind flirting. I think it's great. I love flirting.
Yeah, but there's you know, the thing about flirting is, okay, so if somebody's flirting and you kind of get that they're just flirting with you and it's not, and you ask, you cross the threshold and you say, right, hey, let's go get coffee, and they get weird. You know, you can, and
well, I think if you're a boss, or if you have,
well, I would never do that if I was a boss. That wouldn't happen.
Right. And that's the way to avoid it. I mean, if men are afraid to talk to women in the workplace, how do I talk to a woman in the workplace? If you're a boss, then she's off limits. If you have any kind of power over her, then yeah, she's off limits. You can meet another woman that doesn't work in your company, you know, or, I mean, it's not, I don't know. That's how that is.
What if it's somebody who doesn't work for you in the company, and you, or you're both colleagues and they work in a different department, and you go out and, you know,
I don't know. How did you and I start dating?
I think it was something like that, actually.
What?
Right. It was pretty funny. I don't know if we should tell that story or not, but
no, we shouldn't tell that story. But no, that's for the vault. That's for later.
It is ribald, but it wasn't you and I. I mean, we worked for different stations, right? We didn't have anything to do. We didn't. I didn't know.
In the hallway and started talking.
Right. Exactly.
Like you. You didn't have any power over me.
No. No.
And I didn't have any power over you.
And if I had, I would not have asked you out.
That's right. It would have. We never would have had spaghetti, ever.
Did we have spaghetti?
Oh, we did, didn't we? We did have spaghetti.
So now I'm all flustered. So, but I'm glad you mentioned it, because that's the thing. So now, if you come across a young woman, or you know, really any woman that you are, like,
an old woman. What?
Right. And you, she's a server, let's say, and you go to this place every day, mm-hmm. you know, and you decide, so how many times do you ask? Huh? You're laughing.
How many times do you ask?
I mean, how many times?
Well, no, I'm trying to get at this with you. So, okay, you see a waitress, right? Or a server.
Yeah,
right?
And you're like, they, God, I really like her. I never do this. I'm going to ask her out.
I never do this. I'm going to ask her out. And okay.
Whew, man. I think it's a threshold.
I think you leave a napkin note.
Oh, could you do that?
Sure. She can always throw it away, right?
See, that seems so reasonable. I have friends say, you don't, Bob, you can't ask a server out. That's not cool. You can't do that. And how many times do you ask?
Server, I loved napkin notes. I used to love napkin notes. That's me, though. I'm a weirdo. You know that. But you can always throw it away.
Right.
You know, and then it's not a face-to-face, you know, you don't think your tip is on the line. If, you know, you think, oh, if I don't pay attention to this guy, if I don't flirt back with him, then, you know, he's not, there goes my tip. You know, that's a jug of milk that I got to bring home for the kids, you know, and I'm, you know, if I don't play that game, you know, you leave a nice note. You say, you know, you have a lovely smile. You know, you seem like a nice person. Don't know if you're single or not. Here's my email, you know, and then if they throw the napkin away, no harm, no foul.
But what if the guy doesn't understand that they didn't want to talk to him or whatever? It was a no. So then they say, well, maybe she didn't get the note, and then he keeps
See, that's where guys have a problem. That's where you know what? I don't know how guys should understand that, but they should understand that. You wrote it down. You know, like, when she didn't get it, you wrote it down. Leave it by the money. She'll get it.
She'll get it.
Put it in the salt. You know what? Because she's got to clean that table. Spill the salt.
Right.
You know, over the note. She's going to have to pick it up. Right?
Okay. And then, you know, if she doesn't respond at that point, you know, you're pretty screwed at that point. You know, she's not interested at that point.
Right. Right. Just do it once. And here's the thing. You know, there's comedians in there. I think it was Paul F. Tompkins. He's got this great bit. He says, you know, popular culture has led me to believe my whole life that if a woman says she doesn't like me, all that means is that I need to try harder.
Well, there you go. Don't give up.
Right?
You're right. Look at Lyndon Johnson. Lady Bird didn't want to go out with him, but he ended up, he was so persistent, he ended
up. Do you really want somebody that you have to wear down, though?
He did.
I mean, if you were a guy, do you really want somebody that you, I'm going to wear down, you know? That's just like.
I don't know. I don't.
Would you want somebody that would, you know, skip willingly into your burly man arms? That's what I would want if I were a man.
And my thing is, obviously at this point in my life, I really don't care, but. But when you're a young man, and this is, you know, I have younger listeners too. And if a young guy,
I said, you don't care because you're drowning in tail.
I just, my thing is that for younger guys that they don't know, do the younger guys have a problem trying to figure this all out? Like, how are they supposed to treat young women?
I don't know. I can tell you that I'm not. I have a son who is in his mid-20s.
Gorgeous. He's very good looking.
He's super good looking. And he has a lovely girlfriend. And they were friends for about 6 months before they went out.
So she knew him and she took her time to get to know him. And do you think that she liked him from the get-go? Or he grew up?
They both liked each other. I think that they both liked each other. And I think that they sort of, you know, like animals in the wild, they sort of circled each other for a little while before, you know, and they put themselves in positions where they were able to have conversations with each other. And and I think that that's, you know, it would be okay, I think, for all people. You know, I don't understand Tinder or anything like that, the whole swiping and immediate hookup deal.
I don't either.
Should be conversation. Well, there should be. So I feel like just for a variety of reasons, you're not going to, you know, everybody's going to end up having hookups or relationships even, or marriages that they say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But conversation, you know, allowing time for conversation beforehand, really alleviates a lot of that.
Yeah, you kind of know. Hey, he's not really right for me, or she's not really right for me.
Exactly. So, I don't have my finger on the pulse of what the kids are doing these days, but I know that my kid and his girlfriend, you know, they would go to parties where they would see each other. They were introduced by mutual friends. You know, they went to a theme park together, you know, did some kind of escape room together. You know, there were just like group events where they were,
Well, they don't do what when we were growing up, you asked a woman, girl, whatever you want to say, out on a date, and you went out on a date, you know, you went to the Pizza Hut and, you know, then you took her home, you know, or something like that. And now you don't do that. You go out in a cloud with a bunch of other people. So you don't. And I have no idea how that works because I'm not going to do that.
Like virtually, like going out in a cloud, like
they go out. They have friends and they hang out with friends. I mean, that's what they do. Yeah. But I have to tell you something.
Okay.
You know, I'm working with this new company called ReliaFund. How would you like that segue?
What do they do?
That was fantastic. I will. They process payments. So if you are in business and you have to get payments processed, these guys are the guys for you. First of all, I talked to a software guy in Los Angeles a couple days ago, and I was explaining ReliaFund. And he goes, well, how much is it per transaction? I can't tell you how much it is per transaction because it might vary a little bit, but they're very reasonable. And he goes, holy you know, I that's amazing. So they're very reasonable, especially when you compare it to Square and PayPal and things like that, which I mentioned to Kevin Hill, who's the guy that I work with at ReliaFund one time. I mentioned PayPal and he was like, oh my God, we hate PayPal. It was his face, you know, just, because they can process any kind of payment, checks, credit cards, whatever. And they do a great job. If you're developing an e-commerce website that answers that that takes payments, this is a message for you. It's Relia Fund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D. There's no long-term contracts. They're secure. They're technology-focused. 866-243-5040. Talk to a human being. They actually answer the phone over there. Ask for Kevin or Greg. You can check them out online at reliafund.com or click on that banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com.
You had me at human being. That's a big deal. No, seriously.
It is.
Come on.
But, you know, interestingly enough, sometimes you don't want to talk. Like when I pay my cable bill, I do not want to talk to a human being. I want
to
just do
talk to anybody at Comcast.
Nobody.
So, nobody. Those poor people.
Right. So
their own families don't want to talk to them.
So what was I going to talk to you about? So we've talked about the dating thing a little bit. We've talked about the you feel that this is – that we are in a cusp of a major change in the way that people do business. And, I mean, you know, there's the whole thing about Silicon Valley as well being sort of this hotbed of, you know, a lot of frustrated guys who, you know, have spent their lives under desks coding or playing video games are suddenly, you know, billionaires and running big companies. And they don't, they're awkward, and it's a male atmosphere. It's not, women aren't welcome. And yet you have people like, what's her name, at Facebook, who's running Facebook. So, Sheryl Sandberg.
Yeah, I think right
Isn't
now
that her name?
It's
I
just,
hope it
you know, in times of great change, you know, there will be some casualties and. You know, in order for things to change, people will have to be uncomfortable. It's just like working out, right? You know, in order to see positive results, things were going to have to be uncomfortable for a little while people figure out how to have these conversations. But, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that anything is any necessarily worse or different. Which is not to say that it's good,
especially in Hollywood.
Well, especially anywhere, you know. I mean, people like who was talking to me about, you know, oh, it's that business, and I thought it's any business where you get, you know, absolute power corrupts, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. And so here's a guy, and he's, you know, not a particularly attractive guy. And he's in charge of a lot of good-looking women, and he's got a lot of money, and he's got a lot of influence, and a guy like that, you know,
absolute power,
right, exactly. So
what? I mean, what do companies do though? I mean, that's the thing. Is that if this is going to happen?
I think they did the right thing. I think they, you know, they fired him. He's, you know, he's definitely. I mean, he's what does firing mean for a guy like that?
Well, it means I have to go to France.
Right. It means. Right. You know, it's like, it's kind of silly because, you know, he'll be able to come back and do stuff. Maybe not at the exact level that he was doing it before, but people will work with him.
I'm just shocked that, seriously, and this, and I said this to somebody today, you know, if you're, you know, been around for a while as a human being on the planet, you know, this is no new thing. It's like I learned years ago, not that I ever had a problem. Like I get never tried to do that to women. I didn't have any power to do it, but I just wasn't that way. But it's like, we all learned you can't, the very first sexual harassment, you know, seminars where here's how you have to deal in the marketplace and the workplace. You can't do that. You know, people dating, right. We have to know you're dating and you have to reveal it or, you know, all these different HR procedures that developed over the years. And here we are, 60 years after this started, 50, 40 years after this started, if you want to go back to the 70s. And it seems like we're having worse problems with executives. Maybe we're not. I don't know. But it's like,
I don't think we're having worse problems. I just think that there's more attention being paid to it.
Okay.
And because women have more agency and because there's more women in business and because, you know, you have a voice so you can use it and to rightfully lodge a complaint, a legitimate complaint, you know, and So it seems like there's more. I don't think there's more. I think it is what it is. And in terms of gaming, I mean, that's just, oh, there was another comedy sketch about how, you ever watch Portlandia?
Oh yeah.
It's love a great Portland. Show. And it was, you know, this whole thing about how, oh man, you know, geeks are, they're, everybody's into geek culture now. Like geeks at one point, geeks had, you know, at least they had video games and they had comic books and they had, you know, all these quirky, fun things. And that was their edge. Right. And now everybody's into that stuff. So they were disgruntled, right? Disgruntled nerds or disgruntled geeks because everybody's into Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and comic book things. So, you know, they don't have an edge, right? You know?
Yeah. They're just, well, as my son who is living in New York said that, he goes, yeah, Brooklyn is like, I go, what's it like taking the train over? Because it's not like what it was like when you were here. You know, it's the whole place is regentrified and it's a bunch of hipsters drinking whiskey out of mason jars. And, you know, they all have beards and they all wear really tattered clothes. But the thing is, they're no different from the guys on Wall Street. They're just doing this. They work at ad agencies or whatever, but they think they're special because they don't wear suits. That's how he described
Brooklyn. Right.
That's the same thing as the geek culture thing is. I'm, you know, I'm now, we all feel like we have to follow an archetype instead of just being ourselves, which is really what geeks did in the beginning. They were just themselves until the movie Revenge of the Geeks. And then, you know, that's
Revenge
what started
of the nerds.
It. Oh, that's what it was. Movie. Revenge of the Nerds. That's what started it. And then I guess the final question is that there, and in with all of
is
this,
time up?
Not really. We can go on and on, but and you know me, I'm a radio guy. So, you know, when a segment goes on too long, I start freaking, I start getting hot sweats and I'm confused, but
do what you gotta do. I'm here for you.
What was I going to say? So there's a culture in among men these days, which is men have checked out. They don't have relationships. They use women for sex, the MGTOW thing. And they want a completely subservient female to raise the children and to be dependent on them. And that's a big movement today.
Really?
Yes. And it's especially significant in rural areas. And it's called MGTOW, MGTOW, and it's basically men who have checked out from relationships one way or the other, or they want the traditional, you know, they want the traditional prairie wife, let's just say, who takes care of the kids.
Okay, so they've checked out, so, okay.
They want relationships.
They don't want relationships. They just want, like, women to be, like, a permanent subclass of citizen, or not even a citizen, like farm animals.
Well, no, I think the thing is that it's, you're supposed to respect women for the, it's basically traditional roles. And I'm butchering the whole definition, and my MGTOW friends are going to get mad at me. But
MGTOW friends,
my perception is that my perception is, yeah, I have a lot of those. It's just men get so frustrated with the whole relationship thing because we don't know how to figure it all out. We just can't, you know, especially my friends who are older. We're like, you know, if you're divorced and it's the whole, you know, we have to have this conversation now and this has to, and it's like, oh my God, I just want to go out and get pizza on Friday night.
It was easier when, okay, do you think men, the MGTOW, or traditional or older, whatever. Okay, so that, yeah. So do you think that they feel like it would be easier when women were dependent because then they wouldn't have to have conversations because women would just have to put up or shut up because, you know, the three squares and a roof over their head were largely dependent on you know, having a man to provide those things.
And I have a very good friend who's a woman in that kind of relationship, and she's very happy. She has six kids, and she's very happy. But she's 35. And I thought, well,
yikes.
She's awesome and very.
I'm sure she is. I would go nuts.
But I just thought,
I live in a time when I don't have to have six kids.
Well, and we should tell people, you know, you raised two fabulous kids single as a server. So let me tell you, you know, you've certainly taken your lumps.
No, yeah, no. And I would not change my, I would not change a thing. But I'm so glad that I could make it work as a server, and I did not have to depend upon a man. Which, not because I don't love men, you know I do, but I just because I wouldn't want to live a perpetual childhood. I like being able to make my own decisions, and I, you know, even the smartest man making a decision for me would bum me out. I'd rather make my own mistakes because I like being a human being with my own agency and my own mistakes. I mean, I would hate to submit to somebody. Wouldn't you?
I wouldn't. And that's the problem, is we don't want to submit to anyone. And, how do you have a relationship?
Throw away, just for a moment, like throw away male, female, anything like that. As a human being, wouldn't you hate to have to submit to another human being?
This is why I'm unemployed, because I,
right. You know, so it's the same. It's
I
the same
terrify thing, the people know? That I work, I the people that
great
I work
if
for.
If somebody, you know, and I got a friend who's a stay-at-home dad and takes care of three kids. And that works out perfectly for them. And I'm glad that we live in a time when he can do that and when she can do that. And when I don't have to do that.
See, this is they say that they would say, and I'm not going to say that they would say this. I'm just going to paraphrase what I assume would be that this is a blurring of gender roles, and ultimately it's dangerous. That ultimately it breaks down society. See, I don't know that I agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that at all. Gender roles.
And to interrupt, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to. That this is the reason why these extreme cases like Bill Cosby and Harvey, is it Weinstein or Weinstein, or what did you call him? I call him Weinstein.
I think it's sure, Weinstein.
The huge,
I don't know.
The huge,
Weinstein.
Fat, ugly guy.
I don't know.
Well, in any case, this is why that's happening, because society, men are confused in society. The gender roles are blurred. They don't understand with all this transsexual stuff and, all this gay thing and all this stuff. This.
They're off in their own land. I don't think that there's an issue there. They're doing their own thing. I mean, I shouldn't say they're off in their own land. They live everywhere among us. But, if you're a straight guy, who cares about transsexuals, right?
Well, no, I don't think I'm going to be attacked by transsexuals. I'm not suggesting that.
No, you're not.
I'm saying, that's a movie, Attacked by Transsexuals. I mean,
it would be fabulous.
Yes, so, there'd be lots of glitter and lots of hair. But in any case, what I was suggesting was that it's these things. It's not the existence of the transsexual or the existence of the gay. It is the fact that it's now very fashionable. And between that and the women running out and doing all these things and having all this autonomy, it has blurred these sexual roles, these standard gender roles, and it's confusing men. And this is why we're getting these artifacts, let's call them, these spurious emissions of people like Harvey Weinstein.
I don't think so. I think that we agreed earlier, absolute power corrupts. Right.
Yeah.
And so blurring of gender roles. I mean, do you want to go back to when the Greeks were when all entertainment was, women couldn't act? and you'd have to have men doing all the roles.
They did.
Right. And, they sure did.
And I don't even want to think about the Greek army. So.
Right. So women, are. It's silly. It's blurring of gender roles. So what? So they can't act? They can't be doctors? They can't be anything?
I don't know.
That's silly.
The thing is, I don't get to. This is all very surfacey, and I apologize to people who are super into this either way. I just, I'm just reacting to what I hear and see out there, and I'm glad that we talk, because it's like, you know, what do you like now I want to try the napkin idea.
Yeah, but, why not? You know. I love napkin notes, you know, and you know what? God bless your friend there with six kids, and that's super happy. I do think that's great, and I do think that I have friends in super traditional marriages and families that are super happy, and I think it's great. I think anybody should try to find where your happiness is, and I think there's room for all of it. I really do, and you know, we just kind of have to chill when it comes to discussing things that we're not used to or comfortable with.
Well, that's the other thing, is that I think we need to take it all. You know, people get so upset if you want to talk about an issue, they flip out and they start. Don't even try it on Facebook, because it's just impossible. It's just, we are having, we need to learn to talk to each other regardless of what we think about, you know, people should know. So just from, and I don't know if it's still that way, but you and I are complete, black and white, different on political issues for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, although I'm
your liberal friend.
Huh?
You have lots of liberal friends, though.
I do, because I don't have a problem with somebody's political. I can't hang out with those people because they're liberals.
Right, right.
You know, because I don't know.
You know,
what
my
stuff
family's
means.
All conservative, right?
No, that's true.
I'm like the odd man out.
You're the black sheep.
I'm the black sheep. I'm definitely, but I love my family, and I really respect. You know, I mean, before the show, we were just talking about my brother. Everybody in my family, they're all traditional, you know, marriages. So,
as I recall, they were very happy with me.
They loved you. Oh my God. They would have. Why didn't you marry that? Because he's never getting married.
Well, you didn't ask me.
What? I didn't ask you?
You didn't say, hey, let's get married. I would have. I probably would have.
You would not have.
I would have melted like butter.
Don't toy with my affections, Bob Davis.
Well, I have to tell you, Colleen, in the news these days, with all the talk about foreign manufacturing, the new president, whom you are such a fan of, some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the United States. It's called trade protection, people. And if you are in business, you got to be prepared for this, because it is happening as we speak. So if your company is considering American manufacturing, remember Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com. And don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Get them over there to check your heating system before it gets cold, because you do not want that to go down when it's really cold, and we're going to have a cold winter this year. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 671 with Colleen Cruz. On the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, we have great streaming. I have streaming now. It's really cool, by the way.
That is cool.
iTunes, TuneIn.
You're an early adopter of stuff.
I do. I am a freak. I am kind of a geek freak in that sense that I do. I'm not, streaming is not something that I'm, believe me, I'm the last guy that got streaming. So, you know, I am an early adopter, but I can't claim it for this one. But I do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on following and stuff like that on social media, Facebook and Twitter. I hate Twitter, but thanks anyway. And Instagram, my favorite social media. I'm not sure about Snapchat. I just got Snapchat. I can't figure it out. I don't understand.
I can't
Snapchat.
Either.
You have to give them the...
It scares me.
I don't want to give it my phone number, and I don't want to give it access to my contacts. I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
And thanks for listening to Podcast 671.